The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
This is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate. Good morning. I'm Jackie Reddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you doing today?
Great. How are you?
Very good.
We have with us for the second week in a row, Bob Warner from Bob Warner Heating and Cooling. Hello.
Hello, Jackie.
Thanks for coming back with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
We appreciate your time. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we talk real estate. We have been advising, assisting, and guiding clients in real estate matters for over 40 years. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com, or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724, or when you're at jruddy.com, check the Dunmore Corners live webcam and click on that tab and take a look and see what's going on at the corners.
I especially like that this time of year because of the weather, and I like to check how the roads are. If there's storm, snow, ice, whatever, see how many cars are out there and if they're getting around okay. Remember to look us up on YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. You can search our listings or the MLS listings or listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com. J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Bob Warner from Bob Warner Heating and Cooling. How long have you been doing heating and cooling, please?
About 30 years, Jackie.
And you were trained by your father?
Yeah, trained by dad. I was going to him since I was little.
Grew up in the business?
Yeah.
Okay.
You are licensed and insured and bonded and all of that stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, all that good stuff.
Good.
And you go for training, continual training.
It's continual, yeah. Every time they invent something new, there's a training seminar on it to keep you updated with how to install it and how to use it, work on it, troubleshoot it. So there's constant training involved to keep up with the modern equipment being produced.
So last week we spent a lot of time on furnaces and boilers. We talked about that. We didn't get into anything like heat pumps or geothermal or some of the more sophisticated systems that are out there that may not be popular in this area but could be in other areas. So I thought we'd talk about heat pumps, please.
Well, heat pumps, you have your ductless split systems, which give you heating and cooling options out of the same unit. And ductless being that there's no ductwork involved. You have your air handler and your A-coil in one unit inside hanging on your wall, and your compressors outside on the ground. And that would be your ductless heat pump, and it'll give you heating along with your cooling. Now, the heating part of it only is good till down around 25 degrees out. Anything below that, it kind of fades off because of the characteristics of a heat pump. So you still do need another heat source besides that.
A primary
heat source, yeah.
But they're a good supplement.
Good supplemental heating and very efficient, yeah.
Yeah, the way you explained it to me when he put ours in, he says it's a regular air conditioner. It runs backwards. Instead of blowing hot air outside, it blows the hot air inside and blows the cold air outside.
It reverses the flow of the Freon and gives you heat off of it instead of cooling off of it.
Well, I'm seeing more and more people install these in their homes, whether it's an older home or a brand new home. I see a lot of them, they've gained in popularity over the years.
Yeah, a lot of people wanted air conditioning, and it wasn't practical to put ductwork in because of an old home. There's nowhere to either run ducts or it's just you can't get them where you need them. So you could put a ductless system in and hang it on the wall, and they have multiple units off of one compressor now. So it's a nice option that people can have and still get the cooling that they want in the summertime. And in between the seasons, they could get the heat when they need it too, before they turn on their main heat source.
What about geothermal? Is there a call for that?
Well, geothermal's been around quite a while. There's two kinds. There's ground source geothermal, where you need to lay a lot of pipe in the ground, and it's keeping the consistency of the water temperature of the ground temperature, keeping that water at that, and that's how you're gaining the heating or the cooling from it. Or you use water wells. You have to have somebody come in and drill your water wells. And you use the, you know, it's the same idea. You're using well water going through the system, and you're getting the heat or the cool off of that because it's held at a constant temperature. But they're not real popular in a city area. Like in the country, they are, where people have more space, more ground property that they could come in with a drill rig, drill some water wells, or dig up the ground and put the ground source into.
Is it expensive? Sounds expensive.
Well, it's a little bit more costly to install.
But you're saving?
In the long run, if you're young and you're doing it, it'll pay off. Yeah, and you stay there, yeah. But if you're up in age or retirement age, there's other things that are just as good. It's like everybody has their own little idea of what they want. Some like the latest, greatest thing. That's those people.
And how many years do people stay in their homes? What's the average? It's
usually 5 to 7
years. 5 to 7 years, yeah. And people are moving. So you make this big investment, you never get a return on your money.
No, it's not. But it's not going to pay for itself by the time you have.
It's good for the next people,
yeah,
though.
It's good for the next people.
Well, there you go. And yeah, but you have to think about that, too. If you know that you're not going to stay, you want to have something, you know, an asset. You want to have something that is a plus.
You say it's a selling point, right? I have geothermal heating or cooling.
Could be
if you have the right people that want that. Yeah.
Right.
So it goes with people. You mentioned you have to have some land to be able to do this, to dig, to lay the pipe.
You do need some property.
Okay, because you sit in the country. And what do you say about the country, Pat? Because down here, we're in the city, right? We're in the big city, Bob. This is the big city, right? Oh, for gosh. You and me.
This is the big city. We love it.
What do you have to say about that? We're all country folk, according to Pat. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Dunmore is the country, as far as I'm concerned. I drove into Dunmore when I was a fireman 20 years ago, and I'm driving down Blakely Street, and there's a sign. It says, high-rise parking. I can look at Jackie. I go, where's the high-rise? She goes, that's it right there. A 5-story building is not a high-rise.
To us, it's a high-rise.
To us, it's high.
The tallest building in Dunmore.
I can make that roof with a ladder. I says, that's not a high-rise.
Okay, so electric heat. Electric baseboard heat. How does that compare with gas, oil, furnaces, boilers?
Well, there's old-fashioned electric baseboard, and there's a new gel baseboard out that's a lot more energy efficient.
Is it called? A gel?
Yeah, it's a gel baseboard, they call it. It's just a different kind of element in there that gives off a lot of heat and uses less power to do it. It's a new type of baseboard. It's around a few years now, and they even have electric boilers out. It's a little wall hung unit, and it's for people that don't want to burn propane or oil in the country. You could have an electric boiler hanging on your wall. If you still have hydronic heating, which is baseboard hot water, you could use an electric boiler. It's just electric elements in a little unit heating up the water. And
that sounds expensive to run.
Well, it's a little more costly than if you had a propane boiler or an oil boiler. But like, some people don't want propane in their house, or they don't want oil, so it's an option for them.
Propane gets a bad rap. Why?
Well, propane is explosive, and some people are afraid of blowing up. But
you got those cylinders outside. They should be safe.
It's all safe if you maintain it.
But the electric, my dad used to have electric down where he lives. And the only good thing I could see about electric is that there was a different thermostat in each room. You know, so the rooms you're not using, you can turn.
You can keep it turned down.
Keep it turned down.
You know what I like about electric heat?
Instant.
Yes. If I turn it up, I could feel it right away. Whereas with a boiler, especially a hot water, I'm waiting and waiting and waiting.
Yes, but it's a lot cheaper to run. With your boiler, a gas boiler is a lot more efficient. And hot air is even more efficient than that. It's instant heat, too. As soon as you turn it on, and within a minute, you're blowing out warm air.
So hot air systems, I'm often told sometimes people with sinus problems, they have a hard time with hot air because it's a dry heat.
Well, it's a dry heat, but you could put a humidifier in your room, or you could put a humidifier even in the system. So you could condition the air to humidity. Hot air is the most effective there is right now. It's cheap to install. It's cheap to operate. And you could regulate it. You want to dampen one room off, you could shut it down. Especially if it's a new installation with dampers on all your mains, go into each room. You could have any room, any temperature you want. You could regulate it.
So then, you know, with the hot air system, a lot of people, especially new construction, would go for an HVAC.
Yeah, hot air is the most popular because you could have heat and cool with the same ductwork. Very efficient.
Very efficient and cost effective.
And cost effective, yeah.
Okay. So what's the best type of heating? Heating system and type of?
Type of fuel?
Fuel.
Well, it's like apples and oranges. I like oil heat. I have oil heat.
You have more than oil heat.
What types of heat do you have?
I have every kind that you could have except for natural gas. It's unavailable where I live. But I burn oil heat. I like the oil heat.
So your primary is oil.
Yeah.
You have coal.
Coal, wood, propane.
You got them all.
Oil. Yeah, I burn the oil. I like oil. You know, you buy the oil. It's in your tank. You know how much you have. You can see it there. When you need some, you call up your oil man.
You can call up any oil man.
You can call any oil man. You get mad at your oil man, you can call another oil man.
Just like the utility company.
You could shop around. Try doing that with natural gas.
No, you can't.
If you get mad at the gas company, who are you going to call?
Nobody.
Nobody. You're stuck. You're stuck with them.
You could shop out prices with the gas, with the oil. It's good.
Yeah, and you could buy it when the price is down in the summertime. Some places let you pre-buy. You could lock in your price, your rate. They're doing that now. While the oil price is down, you could pre-buy it. And if the price rises, you could buy it right now for $1.50 a gallon, say, in the summertime, and lock that in for so many gallons and pre-buy your oil. So even if it goes up to $2, $3 a gallon, you're still paid $1.50 a gallon. You just have to find companies out there to do that.
I hear people say that they don't like oil heat. Any type of house they're looking for, as long as it doesn't, if it doesn't have oil, they'll consider it. If it has oil, they won't. Because a lot of people think that it's a messy type of, dirty type of fuel, and that it gives off, you know, makes the house, the walls, dirty, black.
Yeah, that's a misconception there. If you maintain any kind of boiler or furnace burning oil, it'll burn as clean as gas. The main thing is that you have it cleaned and serviced every year. Every year. You have to have any unit supposed to be cleaned every year.
Sometimes I'll walk into a house and I'll know instantly it has oil. I open the front door and I smell it.
You're probably going into a house with a 30 or 40 year old unit that was neglected for its whole lifetime. And there's oil leaks and what have you. And that's why you're smelling it. A good system, you'll never know.
You never smell it.
You're not going to smell it.
And your walls aren't going to be black.
There's a reason, yeah. It needs to be cleaned or it's worn out. But if it's kept up and maintained, it's as good as any other kind of heat.
Okay.
So what do you got to do? You got to change the nozzle every year? You come in and do that? Is that what you do?
Yeah, you change the nozzle, the filter, pump screen, and you set it up. Make sure it's burning efficiently. And that's the whole idea of maintenance. You got to do maintenance on it. So it's a little more maintenance involved. You have to have it done. Where gas, you could let it slide a year or two, it's still going to be okay. Well, oil's a little not
forgiving. You have to stay on top of it.
Yeah, you have to keep up with it. But if you do, it's fine.
Okay. We're headed towards the break. Pat, would you like to review a listing?
Yes, we have a beautiful 3-bedroom, 2-bath home in Clark Summit at 520 Hallwood Avenue for only $135,000. This home has been updated and beautifully remodeled with hardwood floors, tiled kitchen, finished lower level, and central air conditioning. It also has a large garage with second floor storage. The roof is newer, the wiring has been updated, it has replacement windows, and it has been freshly painted. This home is in move-in condition. That's a beautifully updated 3-bedroom, 2-bath home in Clark Summit at 520 Hallwood Avenue for $135,000. And that's listed by Aaron Pierce and Edward Ruddy of our office.
Thank you, Pat. I have the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors MLS, the multi-list statistics for the last 30 days for all counties that we serve. We have a median list price year to date, $139,900, which is the same as it was in 2014. We have a median sales price of $125,000, which is slightly up from last year. The median sales price in 2014 year to date at this time was $123,000. And our days on the market are slightly higher this year, 2015. And our absorption rate, that is the amount of time it will take us to sell the current number of homes, active listings, single family homes on the market, is almost 12 months. So that needs to go down in the new year in 2016 because that absorption rate is high. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We'll be right back. The real estate market is extremely active and you want to make a move, but you don't know where to start, who to call, or how to make it happen. I'm Jackie Ruddy, and I know Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate can lead the way. Our quality service award-winning team will help you with buying and selling a home. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has a proven track record and experience you can count on. Lean on us to show you the way. Call 570-344-6724. That's 570-344-6724. Or visit jready.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, where homes are open every day, all day long. Also, remember to tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, and with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Yes, we're having a good discussion here today with Bob Warner.
Fantastic discussion. Bob Warner from Bob Warner Heating and Cooling. How are you?
Good, Jack.
Thanks for being with us for 2 weeks in a row. We appreciate your time and the loads of information that you're providing us and our listeners. During the winter months, what should people be doing with their furnaces and boilers and their systems? What should they be looking for?
If you have steam heat, make sure you're keeping water in it, flushing it out every 2 weeks. Hot air, make sure you're changing your air filter, keeping it clean. Make sure there's no air blowing out in the cellar, the duct didn't come off.
You don't have a window open in the basement?
Oh, yeah. Close your cellar windows that you forgot from summertime.
And watch out for
frozen pipes, drafts. If you have drafts when it's like last winter, we had 20 below temperatures. A little draft coming in is going to freeze if you have hot water baseboard pipes, especially with a lot of frozen pipes last winter. We had frozen pipes even in people's living rooms from leaving a window open behind a couch. One guy on West Side, little cracked window open. The cold air comes right in and drops right down to the floor level. And it froze his baseboard solid, split it open. It had quite a mess. Another guy liked sleeping with the window cracked in his bedroom because he liked it cold. I said, well, it's 20 below. Do you think you need it 20 below in your bedroom? So he had the joy of waking up to water spraying everywhere because he froze the baseboard right in his bedroom.
Oh, my God.
They don't realize the cold air is dropping right down to that floor level where your pipes are. And with the heat not running.
Wreaking havoc.
Yeah, it's freezing right up.
All right, you were talking before about the steam systems that you have to check the water every 2 weeks, drain the water out. Have you ever had instances where people let the water out of the hot water baseboard and say that there's something wrong?
Yeah, a couple times. I had an old guy that used to like to hook the hose on there to wash his car because it was nice hot water comes out of there. Then he's calling me that there's no heat and you can hear gurgling in the pipes. And I'm like, I don't understand how this is happening. So he's like, well, the only one I touch is right there. I'm like, and then I got it out of him that he was washing his car with the heating system. And it was working good for him, you know?
I got hot water.
Yeah, he had nice hot water from it.
But that's bad. You shouldn't be draining your hot water system.
No, you shouldn't drain your hot water.
You shouldn't wash your car with your furnace.
No, that's bad.
Or boiler.
Or boiler, excuse me, yes. Yeah. Okay. How about ductwork? You've mentioned last show, this show, you've really emphasized the fact that maintenance and cleaning our furnaces, our boilers is essential to keeping them in good condition.
Yeah, the simple thing like an air filter in your hot air system. People don't realize all the air in your house is going through that filter and collecting dirt, dust, germs, everything on there. You got people coughing sick in your house or pets with dog fur, cat fur, it's all collecting on that filter. Do you want the air you're breathing keep cycling through that filter with the dirt in there? that's why there's a 30-day life on a warm air filter. After 30 days, pull it out, throw it away. It's a cheap price to pay. They're only $2, $2.50 for an air filter. And don't get the expensive pleated $5, $6 air filters. Because they're going to clog up twice as fast and cut down on the airflow going through them. And now you could, you know, you stand the chance of overheating your hot air furnace if that wasn't designed to be run with that tight filter in there. I mean, it's okay for people with a real clean house with no pets, no kids, and it's a very clean atmosphere, and the filter doesn't get that dirty. But
it still needs to be changed.
It still needs to be changed, yeah. You got to change them.
And the best way to keep your ducts clean is to change that
change
air filter.
Change the air filter, yeah. If your filter's collecting everything, your ductwork is going to stay clean.
Do you have to maintain your ductwork as often or watch out for any kind of...
Well, it's the air filter is collecting. In theory, if your air filter is collecting it, your ductwork is going to stay clean. Now, if you have an old house that you had coal heating it at one time and now you're converting over to gas or oil, you might want to see about cleaning the ductwork out before you change your unit over because you could have a good buildup of debris and sediment in there of the coal dust especially.
Does ductwork ever wear out, like the seams?
No, metal ductwork is kind of forever.
Okay.
The new ductwork out is, you know, fiberglass ductwork. That's yet to be seen how long it's going to last. It's holding up good so far.
But people can't see inside their ductwork. So if you're changing the filter, you can assume it's pretty clean. If you're not changing your filters, then you would have to assume that it's pretty dirty. So this is being recycled into the air
Of the house, yeah.
Okay.
So the main thing is change your air filter. Keep it clean.
All right. What should people not do in the wintertime? There's things to do. There's things to not do. And you talked about the windows, leaving windows open. Anything else?
Leaving windows open is a big part of a lot of people's problems with the frozen heat pipes. And we had a lot of calls with frozen heat pipes, frozen water
this
pipes.
This is the busy time for you. I mean, you barely
you get a lot
see.
Of breakdowns, especially if you have oil heat and it's been a lot colder than usual and you're the one checking the oil and you're not on automatic delivery. You want to go down a little more often and look at the gauge on your oil tank and don't let it go below a quarter of a tank if you could. Because every time you're getting oil, you're stirring up the debris and sediment in the bottom of your tank. And potentially clogging up your oil filter and oil line nozzle.
So if it's been zero for a week, you might be using a little bit more oil.
Yeah, and people don't realize, hey, it's been a lot colder than normal. So if you get oil once a month, maybe you better check it in 3 weeks.
You don't want to run out of oil. And then you get the call and you say, why isn't it working?
Yeah.
Because you have no
most
oil.
Most heating breakdowns are self-inflicted, it seems like, because of things like that. People not flushing steam boilers. Stuff getting blocked up. Just general maintenance things that the homeowners should be up on, and they're not. They let it go, they don't get it cleaned, and then it breaks down. All those things would have been caught during an annual cleaning. And you change your filter, you know if the one tank on your oil tank is blocked up. All of that's going to get caught then during that annual cleaning instead of when it's 10 degrees out on a Sunday. Is usually when it breaks.
On a holiday.
Right. Right. Yeah. And you're like taken away from your Christmas dinner or something.
No one wants to work on the weekend on a Sunday and all hours of the night. And it don't matter what time of year you have it cleaned. Just so you have it cleaned once a year. A year's worth of running time is a year's worth of running time. People have that conception, oh, we have to have it cleaned before we start it up for the heating season. It don't matter when you have it cleaned. Just so you have it cleaned once a year. Get it cleaned. It saves a lot of headaches during when you are using it.
Are there any dangers to closing vents? I mean, sometimes people turn off radiators, close vents because they don't want heat to go to a certain area and they want more heat to another area. What's the dangers or the pitfalls for doing that?
Well, with radiators, with a steam boiler, most of the houses around here are 100 years old, so the radiator valves are 100 years old. So in turn, they're not closing off. The rubber in there is gone if they have a rubber seal in there to shut them. If they're an old brass gate valve, they're okay. But so now you're going to let steam seep up through that valve and it'll start collecting water in the radiator. As it cools down, it turns into water. The water can't go back down. So you could start pushing water out of the vent on the radiator eventually. But if your valve is good, there's no harm in shutting a steam radiator off if you're not using a room. As long as the valve is holding, it's okay to do that. But as far as hot air, if it's an outlet that you're shutting down, a supply blowing the air in there, there's no problem with shutting one or two down. You're just going to increase the velocity of the airflow blowing out of the other vents in the floor or the walls. You might hear a little whistling sound, or you'll be more noticeable of the air blowing out than you did before. But the important thing is you don't shut off the return airs. They're very important with a warm air system, because you could overheat the furnace by not having enough airflow for the furnace. You could overheat it.
What does it mean when a room gets too hot or too cold? Is there something going on with that system?
Well, if it's steam heat, you could regulate that with your vent on the end of the radiator and slow it down from getting so hot in there compared to the other room. It depends where it's on the system, if it's one of the first ones that gets the steam.
So if the room is too hot, you would put a smaller vent on there?
Yeah, put a smaller vent on that one, so it'll slow it down from
getting as hot as fast.
Yeah. Okay.
I know about that. I put the wrong vent on the radiators. Yeah, I know about that.
Well, some people don't have the luxury, I would say, of zoned heat. That's where you can control certain areas of the house or bedrooms or so on and so forth. Some people just have one thermostat.
Yep.
And so, therefore, every room has to be, unless they shut down a vent or turn off a radiator.
Yeah, if you're shutting off a vent, if you have warm air heat, you try to do it on the main downstairs if there's vents off the main. So you're stopping the air from going all the way up through the piping instead of just shutting it down in their room, because then it'll want to be whistling through the vent. Even though it's closed, it's still going to give you a little bit of noise. Other than that,
you're not damaging anything.
No, you won't hurt nothing. Okay. No.
All right. Well, we had 2 weeks of fantastic discussion with you, Bob Warner, from Bob Warner Heating and Cooling. We really appreciate the time you spent with us these last 2 weeks. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Jack.
We'll have you back in the spring to talk about cooling.
Yeah, we'll talk about cooling in the springtime. That all you people listening that are thinking about cooling next summer, call before it gets hot out.
Thank you,
Bob.
Don't
wait till it's 90.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Pat?
Yes, we have a very nice 4-bedroom, 1.5-bath home at 2235 Pittston Avenue in Scranton for only $89,000. This home has an updated kitchen, hardwood floors, and an additional room in the finished attic. The home is in move-in condition with a great layout. It also has a concrete patio, a nice-sized yard, and a large 2-car garage. That's a move-in condition, 4-bedroom, 1.5-bath home with a 2-car garage at 2235 Pittston Avenue in Scranton for only $89,000. And that's listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
Thank you, Pat. And I have information, an article from Pennsylvania Association of Realtors. 3 Pennsylvania housing markets listed in the top 10 of country. Of the top 10 housing markets of 2015, 3 of the metropolitan statistical areas are in Pennsylvania. In fact, we have claimed first place. This is good news, right? We often hear bad news. This area gets a bad rap, and so does Pennsylvania oftentimes. So I like to give some positive news from time to time. Nationwide Economics recently released their 2015 Nationwide's Health of Housing Markets report. Pittsburgh was deemed the best local housing market in the country, with Philadelphia ranking 3rd and the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton area coming in 6th. To determine rankings, employment, demographics, the mortgage market, and housing prices were all considered. The report reviewed data from the fourth quarter of 2014. Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jready.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate.